after some fine performances this year.
Some really good inningses.
JB and Billy have declared.
I'm finished and now I'm in the ground and I'm absolutely cooked.
So now we revisit the highlights.
Afternoon radio gets no better.
This is the best of Triple M's Rush Hour.
I feel good!
Willis, I think you'll find that when old Topics Brayshaw comes to the party this hour, it might hit a little close to home for you.
Jim, I don't think so. When you have kicked a goal after the siren at the MCG, it's going to get many, many calls.
You'll find out what I'm actually going to ask soon. Plus, I've got a few stories from the Brownlow Medal.
Oh, have you? That'll be good. But up next, Jimmy boy, we speak to someone who actually knew which end of the cricket bat to hold. He was a proper batsman, the great Ricky Ponting.
This is the best of Triple M's Rush Hour. If you're missing JB and Billy, download the Lister app to hear them anywhere, anytime.
I feel good!
We're joined by the legendary Ricky Ponting.
Our next guest has 41 test centuries, the most of any Australian cricketer.
There it is. 41 test hundreds for Ricky Ponting.
And we've been massive supporters of his for ages.
He's only won us 3 World Cups.
2, Bill.
He's only averaged 60 against the fastest bowlers in the world.
52.
Jim, shut up, you freak!
Please welcome Ricky Ponting.
How he annoys us, this bloke, Bill. I tell you who he's like. He's like the chief.
Is he? Why?
Well, you try and pick holes in what he's done and you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So that gets annoying.
Exactly.
160 bloody test matches, averaging nearly 60. But he joins us now, which is good because he's given us a minute of his time before heading around the globe again. Punter, welcome to you.
Thanks, JB and Billy. I'd rather talk to Billy, though, listening to that, JB.
Good.
3 World Cups and averaging 60 sounds a whole lot better than what you were saying down there this
Well,
thing,
you did get us over the line twice in World Cups, so we have to acknowledge that. But what have you been up to, please? You had a bit of time off after the IPL?
Yeah, a little bit of time off, mate. Yeah, a little bit of travel. Had a really enjoyable skiing holiday with a couple of other families in Queenstown last week, which has been an annual trip for us, really, the last 5 or 6 years when we could, obviously, when COVID wasn't sort of getting in the way. But and it's fair to say that my skiing hasn't really improved that much through that period of time. So I'm the first couple of trips we had the instructors set aside for the kids, and now pretty much the instructors are set aside for me alone. So
you're low center of gravity.
Yeah, and you would think that I'm sort of built right in the right areas as well, wouldn't you? With a slightly stronger lower half, but it doesn't seem to work that well for me.
Hey, while you're there, it's a nice spot, Queenstown. Beautiful. Do you do the bungee jump or anything like that?
No, I don't need to do that, Bill. If there's a golf course, I can get my thrills out of hitting a few shots around a golf course rather than having to jump out of a plane or jump off a bridge or anything like that, mate. So I'll leave that to Rihanna's done them all, actually. She's done the skydiving and the biggest bungee in the world, but that stuff's not for me.
No, exactly. Hey, what can't you do?
Ski. I just told you that.
So, what else? Because this annoys you about blokes that can do everything. They can play every sport and all that.
Yes.
What else?
Scratch golfer. He wouldn't have been any good at footy, though. He would have been slow.
No, he was all right at footy.
A bit of a plodder is how I've got you in my head.
Well, highly skilled, though, Jim. Both sides. In and under. It wasn't too many packs formed that I wasn't coming the last one up off the bottom of either. So, no, look. Growing up in Tassie, it's fair to say I'm not the strongest swimmer going around.
Right.
actually swim like a rock, to be honest. Probably a better way to put it. Growing up in Tassie, you play footy in the winter, you play cricket in the summertime, and as a young kid, you kick a soccer ball around a little bit. But that's about it, mate. I didn't through even early days when you're away playing cricket as much as I did, you don't get really a chance to focus on too many other sports. It was always just golf and Aussie rules, really, mate.
Basketball, because I was terrible at basketball. I just did something with Shaq. I am the worst shooter in the world. But were you any good at basketball?
No, that was one. You know, all my mates played through school. I wasn't actually allowed to play, to be honest. Mum and dad wouldn't let me play basketball. I don't know why. But even with that, I think I was a bit vertically challenged probably to be any good at that, so they probably kept me away from that.
And cricket wise, you're involved with Tassie as the One Dayers and the everything, I suppose, are you? What are you doing?
No, just the Big Bash team, just the Hobart Hurricanes, actually. Yeah, so they've really strong push from Tasmanian cricket and the Hurricanes in particular, just to win. It's really important that they win something. You know, they've been a really good team, consistent team for a long time, but the Hurricanes are one of two teams that haven't won the BBL. So we're looking at doing things a bit differently down there, change things up a little bit. I've come in, sort of, they give me this title of head of strategy. I'm not sure I'm much good at that stuff, but so we've got a new coaching group. You know, I thought it was really important for a small state and a small cricketing state like Tasmania to have the one coach across both programs. So Jeff Vaughan's coach of the Tigers and head coach of the Hurricanes, and Victorian Darren Berry is assistant along with James Soap. So we've got a completely new coaching group. And you would have seen the other night, we've just done the overseas player draft the other night, which is the first time that that's ever happened. And we hit our targets. We picked up three Pakistanis actually in the draft, which is what we wanted setting out. So really exciting times going forward for the Hurricanes, hopefully.
All right, we're going to take a little break, Punter. We need to talk about Ponting Wines next.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Tribunal news. Tribunal.
No, have a third go at it.
Tribunal. Ricky Ponting joins us in his award-winning range of wines. It's available at pontingwines.com.au, JB.
And they just keep getting better. Ben Riggs is a fine winemaker, Punter, and the brand is growing.
Yeah, mate, it's been so much fun, JB. You know, we've been going 2.5 years now, pretty much. We're closing in on 3 years. And, to work alongside Ben, spend some time with him in McLaren Vale, and we've done a few trips to Tassie together as well, sourcing grapes and juice from down Tassie. We've got two Tasmanian wines in the range, which are a Chardonnay and a Pinot Noir, which are outstanding as well. But yeah, the whole wine journey for Anna and I has been a lot of fun. I think one thing I think people probably need to understand about this with us is not, you know, we're just not throwing our name on a bottle and, you know, ambassadors for a brand and getting paid for it. It's actually our company. It's our business. We own it. We're working on it and in it, you know, sort of 24/7. And we're not in it to make a quick buck and get out. Like I've said to the other business partners that we've got, and Ben in particular, it's up to him to make sure that we've got longevity in the industry. That's what I want to do. I want to stay in the industry, enjoy it while I can, and you know, build a really good premium wine brand here in Australia with the vision of being able to take the brand overseas in years to come. You know, the UK market is potentially a huge market for us, and the other play that I'm obviously looking at and really keen to explore even more than I have already is trying to break into the Indian market. So, some really good things happening around the brand. And, well, you've sampled it over the last 5 years. What we've got inside the bottle is outstanding. We've just got to get it into more people's hands and mouths.
Well, and it's a premium label, as you say, but it's very affordable at the bottom end, are high quality. And then you go all the way up to the 366, which is extraordinary.
So if I wanted to buy, I'm a bit of a tight ass, a cheaper one, which would you recommend, Ricky?
Well, they're sort of, I mean, you're not going to get a $9 bottle bill.
You'll
get something in the mid-20s.
I'm happy to spend 20 or 30 or 40 bucks for that.
Yeah, well, you've got the full range covered there pretty much, mate. With the exception of the 366 that JB just spoke about then, the 366 is like a 125, 135 retail bottle of wine, which actually just won a platinum at the World Decanter World Wine Awards, which is one of the most prestigious wine awards in the world. So you're probably not going to buy that one for your dad, but you can drop back a level to the 127 Barossa Shiraz. Ooh. Beautiful Barossa Shiraz. Or the other one that's been a real success for us is the Langhorne Creek Cab Sav. It's been entered in 6 international wine shows and won gold medal in all of them. Hasn't missed a gold medal. So if your dad's a Cab Sav fan, he'll definitely enjoy that.
Hey, I see all the boys in town a couple of weeks ago. They're playing golf. They're all having plenty of wine. A lot of Jim's mates were there. They're in Melbourne where Jim lives, of course. And Bluey and Borf and Gilly and all his mates. And only one problem for poor old Jim. He wasn't invited, Punter.
Well, we thought this through, Bill. Like, we knew that he had his footy commitments on the weekend, and we didn't want to get in the way of his footy and drag him away. Because I'm telling you, if he had to come away with the boys on that, starting on the Friday, he wouldn't have had any commitments over the weekend. It was pretty much a wipe. But it was, it was awesome. It was, you know, mine and Shane Watson's initiative. You know, we talked about it after the bushfire appeal game here in Melbourne a couple of years ago. We got back at the team hotel after that game, and we sat back then. We looked at each other and it's like, what have we been doing? We haven't done this for 10 years. Why haven't we got back together as a group? And then, obviously, with the events of the last 6 months, you know, with Bacchus and Warnie and Simo all happening within 3 months, it's like, right, we've got to get off our asses here, boys, and actually, someone's got to take responsibility to get us back together. So I sort of planned the weekend here in Melbourne. Well, we had an awesome time. We got well looked after everywhere we went. The boys had a ball, and now we... I passed the baton on to the Queenslander, so it's Bickle and Lehman's turn in 6 months or 12 months to get something organised in Queensland, and we'll have a weekend away up there together. But right. Life's too short, Bill. Yeah, everyone knows that. We've got to get together and just celebrate. The times that we have had together. Plus, they can move past by pretty quickly.
You only wanted good blokes there. So and the only other prerequisite was that you had to play for Australia. And Jim, you didn't play for Australia.
Bill thinks is the funniest thing.
Well, you didn't play.
How many more times are you going to go with this?
Every time someone comes on from that party. Yes. Sucked in, Jim. You didn't get invited.
Pontingwines.com.au. Yep. They are superb. But Punter, enjoy a little bit more time off, and we can't wait on Seven to see you tearing the cricket to shreds over the summer.
Yeah, same, JB. Look forward to this summer coming around.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
We must have better radio. Well, do you know what the phone topic is? 133353, by the way.
No.
Do you work with an idiot?
Who?
No, Bill.
Who do you work with?
You.
Me.
You are a certified halfwit.
Certified.
Like, Bill, there's something wrong with you.
No.
And I'm now starting to get worried about it.
Well, this week, Jim, I agree. I agree. I haven't been at my best.
No, a long way from your best.
I haven't been good.
Why? Why do you think?
Well, I think there's a lot going on. You have a lot of emotions.
Do you?
When your side wins a grand final, and you have a lot of frothies, and all that combined, not good for fat. So that's your topic,
Bill.
Do you work with an idiot?
Yep. Oh. That's what we're doing. 133353. Ring us now. If you can nominate someone you work with who's a bigger idiot than Bill.
Mm. So
133353, ring us and tell us if you work with someone who's a bigger idiot. I'm not saying fat's permanently an idiot.
No.
But when it comes to the back end of September, he loses his faculties.
No, I lose my mind.
133353.
Ring us now. Play that best prizes song, in radio.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Hey, Jimmy boy, plenty of sport. I've got different all sports of sport. Oh. Thanks to our good friend.
What was that?
And we are asking, do you work with an
idiot?
Yep.
That's what we're asking.
Who's asking?
We do.
It?
I am.
What are you, and Rabbit? Are you asking it?
Yep, I am, actually, after the last week and a half.
Last week.
I'm not.
Yeah, well, you don't work with an idiot. We do. That's how this works. 133353,
so
ring us now.
Yes.
You can't even work out how this works. Ring us now if you work with a bigger idiot than Bill.
Yeah.
Greg from Moorabbin.
Hello, Greggy.
G'day, guys. There you go. Congratulations, Bill. Although you did nothing, but it was a good win on your
Thank you, Greg. Well done. Well said.
Love it.
Hey, guys, I used to work with the biggest imbecile in the history of the planet. Yep. He must have moved up from Geelong. But he couldn't tell the front from the back of a sheet of plaster. And at the end of the day, he was a grown man, mind you. At the end of the day, he wanted to borrow $20 off me to shout me a beer because he liked me. He thought I was a good bloke.
Oh, that's nice.
So I said, Nick, effectively, I'm shouting myself a beer.
That's it.
Couldn't fathom that.
You're just going and getting it.
So did you give him $20 so he could buy you a beer?
I did, actually, just to see what he'd do with it, because I'm pretty sure he would have eaten it or something, but he did actually buy us a beer.
That's funny. He's on the line. Yeah. I like that. Dan and Glen Roy. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
G'day, mate. How you going, boys?
Good, Dan. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. How'd you pull up after the weekend?
Oh, just going, mate. Just going.
Did you hear him Monday?
Yeah, exactly. Come on, Dan. He's battling to put one foot in front of the other. What's going on, please?
I work with an idiot, guys. I work with a dumpster diver.
Oh, a dumpster diver.
What is that?
So he earns a packet too, and the guy will go and get his food out of Safeway bins and whatever, and put together nice food, bring it into work, and for the first few times, I hate it.
Oh, no way. So he gets the food out of dumpsters.
Out of bins.
Cooks it up. As long as it's, that's his rule. But I don't know. That's obviously why he's got money.
Wow, that's not quite right.
That's good, Bill.
No, I don't do
Definitely
that.
Definitely an idiot.
He is. Right, stay there.
Oh, Jim.
And we got Heath from Coronet Bay.
Heath.
How's it going, boys?
Good, Heathy. We just had a little technical glitch.
What's going on, Heathy?
Well, I work with a bloke called Foggy, and I reckon he's got fat covered.
Oh, what happens?
Foggy.
Today we got him to cut the end off a hose. Wasn't working real good. We gave him a knife, and he was sitting there complaining because it wasn't cutting properly.
Yeah.
So we asked him to check the knife. He said he's cutting with the right end, and he cut his thumb on the blunt end.
Come on. That's no good, Bill.
His nickname's Foggy. Yeah, Foggy. Always Foggy, Jim.
Thanks, Bill.
Trav.
Travis. Trevelgan.
Trav.
Yeah, you can shut down the phone, boys, because I reckon there's no one working with a bigger idiot than you, Jim, and that's Bill. It's Todd from Bowen.
Oh,
here he is. Up today. All right,
where have you been, Todd?
I've got a bone to pick with you, mate.
Where have you been?
Have I seen a bloke not involved in something make it more about themselves since he had Bob Hawke carrying on like he was part of Australia 2 back in the 80s? Where you were out there, Bin. You probably begged Lingy during the week to present the cup instead of him, the way you carried on. And then we see you turning up in the room, dusty pink gas man, cup holding, song singing, scarf wearing, invasive nothing. And then you're hosting all the Cats functions at your two shit pub.
Yeah.
No doubt you made Isaac Smith. Isaac Smith probably had to pay for his curry sausages while he was there, I reckon. And then after all that, you have the nerve, the temerity, post a photo on Instagram with Joel Selwood saying, "We did it. You did nothing, fat." I'm prepared to say they won the premiership in spite of you.
Yes.
Nothing but pure and categorical interference on your behalf, mate. And at the end of the day, everyone else, me, Gene, Rabbit, we all win a premiership every single day because we don't have to wake up in Geelong.
There we are.
That's not funny. Has he gone? I knew he'd hang up. Mate, we haven't heard from him for 4 days.
That's it.
And he comes up with that crap.
Todd from Bowen Heads.
Never call again. That's all I can say about him.
Yes. I like
that
Todd.
Was good.
He's one of my favourites.
No, he's not.
He is.
Oh, I just want to have a chat to him.
Eloquent.
Dick.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Where are your Buccaneers?
On his on his Buckethead.
Now. What? Speaking of the Brownlow, it's normally your A-plus listers that get invited.
Yes,
Not your hoi polloi.
Oh,
they're normally your top levelers.
And what are you hearing then? Why bring the broach this subject?
Mm-hmm. What?
Don't tell me. No.
Mumps.
Mumps him.
Well, I can't believe it.
Now,
so
Ryan.
Birds latched onto me and told me that Ryan Warren from Narre Warren has been invited. To the Brownlow.
Mm-hmm. No.
On what pretense?
Grounds.
Just being a good bloke, I reckon.
No.
No. That's not getting you invited anywhere.
Not a good button pusher.
No. Or any relevance in the game of football.
Do you want plastic?
Yes, I do, actually. Very good button pusher.
Thank you very much.
What? How?
Yeah.
Our good friends at Channel 7 have invited Rosie and myself on their table.
Rosie!
Mm-hmm.
She's welcome anywhere. It's you we're talking about.
Right.
Oh, now Bill's wheeling on Rose. Well, I actually created history at the Brownlow.
What did you do?
Well, you may remember how they used to have the bar out in the between the exit and the.
Is this when you farted?
No, well that was on Couchy.
Pork,
well, I didn't know.
Well,
I screamed at it because I was over a couple of breaks, so I hadn't gone to a toilet.
Aren't you busting when you run in there? You bolt in there.
So I was standing, and they won't let you out or in.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm standing there and waiting for the doors to open. As soon as they opened, I went screaming in there and I got myself to one of those little single sort of urinal bits.
Yes.
And, well, when you've got a big wee needed,
yes,
you also can often
let go
the other end. So I'm thinking I'm in there quick, I'm on my own.
Yeah.
Didn't even look behind me. And then just ripped a little out. Bill. I looked around.
Yeah.
There's the great Paul Couch.
And he would have giggled.
He'd giggle. Yeah. That's all he did. This stupid giggle on his bush. I looked around. I said, sorry about that, Couchy. Just a Brownlow medalist himself.
Yeah. 89 Brownlow medalist.
So sorry about that. Yeah. But get back to how I changed history.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this would be good.
One real boring one.
Which one?
Brownlow. Don't know which one it was.
One I nearly won.
It was boring. No, it was after you'd finished playing.
Oh.
So I got out the same thing. Between the exits and the toilet was a bar.
In the foyer.
In the basically, yeah. And I looked at Arch because he was in his final years at North. And I said, Arch, we've got two choices here. We either stay here at this bar for the rest of the night or we go back in there.
Mm.
He goes, this bar looks much better. So we stood there. And as we stood there drinking, everyone else who came out suddenly had the same idea.
Yeah.
And in the end, there were almost more people at that bar than there were inside the room. So they shut that, didn't they? That bar was gone.
Yeah, gone because of you.
Because
you've done a fev.
I never had that bar again at the Brownlow.
So you've done a fev.
Well, I didn't. No, it wasn't then that sort of Nick.
Well, fev meant that. Night.
Bill.
I was there.
He's also from Narre Warren and got a Brownlow invite.
He lived next door to
Chris Newman.
Very good.
Yeah, well, he was also like a multiple common medalist. So
yeah, he was.
He's actually worthy of an invitation, I reckon.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Ah, oh, Jim, two yes. Burglars.
Live from the Delatite Hotel in Mansfield, Victoria's beautiful high country, we have Bill's quiz, which is always something to worry about, JB.
Now, here we go. We've got the quiz. It's a general knowledge and local quiz for Mansfield. Righto, here we go. G'day, Chuck.
How are you, Billy?
What do you do, Chuck?
I'm retired.
And why is your nickname Chuck?
I can't bowl. I was a wicketkeeper.
Oh, good. Righto. Where is Bourke Street?
Melbourne.
No.
Oh, Chuck.
Chuck.
You're better than that.
Look at this bloke's nickname. No, kid, shush. His nickname is Dunno. G'day, Dunno.
Hey, Billy.
Why are you called Dunno?
Because I don't know anything.
There we are. Of course it is.
All right, see if you know this, Dunno. Where is Bourke Street?
Mount Buller.
Oh, yeah. He's away.
Away.
Chuck, you should have known that, Chuck. I'll buy you a beer, Chuck. Go up and get a beer. Righto. Number two. Mansfield was originally known as what? What was it named before it was called Mansfield?
The football club?
No, the town. Goes back a bit.
Mount Battery.
Yes, well done. Hey,
Dunno.
Good work. Oh, geez. Well,
he knows a bit, Dunno.
Dunno owns a... what is the postcode?
What does he own? Yeah.
What's the postcode of Mansfield?
3722.
Well done. Three in a row.
Have a listen to Dunno.
It's not a hard question, Bill.
Righto, sing the Mansfield Footy Club Eagles song. Here we go. Start it off. Here we go.
Wait on.
Dunno!
Oh, no.
Come on, Dunno.
Dunno! You are. He's from the footy club.
Oh, no.
Oh, look at the boys. The footy club. No, you don't know. You don't know.
They can't believe it, the boys.
Righto, Tane. He's let you in here. Sing the footy club Eagles. Here we go.
I can only think it's the same colours of Perth, so it's got to be. I don't know.
Tane.
This is a local club.
We go to Greg. G'day, Greg. He's got another bloke with a goatee. I can't believe it. There's all had goatees.
Mark Rusciutto.
Mark Rusciutto, like. Okay, Greg, the song, the Eagles.
Here we go. We are the boys from Mansfield Town. We wear those. Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, keep going. Is that it?
Is that it?
No! 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 I thought it was it too. You were good, Greg. Righto, here's Benno. Come down here, Benno. How are you, Benno?
Good, Bill.
What do you do, Benno?
My wife and I have got a shop over the road. We can sort you out with a few organic little treaties, Bill.
Oh, hello. Tablets?
No,
Bill.
I thought it might just help me along better. Now, what kind of organic stuff? Like
anything you can think of.
Oh, jeez.
Bill's getting a little excited.
Sing the Mansfield Eagles song, the footy song.
It's a grand old flag. It's a high-flying flag. It's an emblem for you and for me.
Cha-cha-cha. Cha-cha-cha. Yes! Now, are the colours yellow and blue when you sing it, or is it blue and yellow?
They are... gold and blue.
Right. I don't know, because that was contentious. Anyway, Benno, we're away. What question was that? We're up to five, Benno. Spell how Q.
No.
How do you say it?
How qua.
Spell how qua.
H-O-W-Q-U-A.
Well done. It's a little town.
Yeah, that's where the girls go for their year nine.
How Q.
Yeah, how Q. Number six. Name a premiership coach of Mansfield Footy Club. Only one.
Craig Kelly.
Do you know the other one?
You only have to name one, but asking for the other one.
No, it was David Minch.
Old Cementhead was the last one.
But David Minch.
Right, good.
From Geelong. Yeah, you're going well, Benno.
Oh, no.
The man from Snowy River. I want the first line, please, because that's where the movie was shot up here, Jimmy Boy. Yeah, the man from Snowy River. I want the first line of the poem. Benno, what are you doing?
I'm thinking.
Oh, right. Come on.
What do you do when you think, Bill?
Well, I don't he look doesn't. Down.
He doesn't think.
I don't know what I do, to be honest. But come on, Benno, the man from Snowy River. Oh, bang, he's gone.
Oh, no.
Benno. Gil, here's Gil. How are you, Gil?
Yeah, good, mate. You?
Yeah, good, buddy. How long you lived in Mansfield?
35 years.
Does that class you as a local?
No.
No?
No.
How long do you have to live here to be a local?
Till you die.
Fair income. Is that right? Righto, you'd know the man from the Snowy River, wouldn't you? Give me the first line.
From this. There was movement at the station for the word had got around.
Keep going. It's good. The old something got out of the stables. But anyway, well done. Well done. Here we go. Only a couple of more. Gee, it's been a good quiz. Who finished ninth?
A couple of more.
Who finished ninth on the AFL ladder this year?
Carlton.
Yes. Yeah, baby. Righto. What are pink ladies and Granny Smith? Oh, you'd know that, Gil. Oh, thank you. Righto, yes, that was an easy one.
That's a good one, Bill.
Righto, we're nearly done, Jim. I'm trying to find one more here.
It would be the last question, I reckon, yeah.
How many hearts does an octopus have? Hearts and legs.
2 and 8.
Wrong.
Bad. What's that got to do with Mansfield?
Well, there's an octopus they saw out here on the road one day. It's everything. Righto, Davey. What do you do, Davey?
Truck driver.
Good. We've got excavators and things.
Oh, yeah.
Excavators.
Whereabouts? Around here?
Yeah.
You're a local?
Yeah.
How long you lived here?
Oh, probably not long enough to be local.
35 years, bro. Gil, he's not a local.
I've only got 10 under the belt.
Oh, well, you're nowhere near a local. No. Octopuses have how many hearts and how many legs?
1 and 8.
No, Topi. Who else we got? Bill. Ah, Billy. How Billy's a local. How long you been here, Billy?
All my life.
Hey, how long's that?
That's a few years.
Yeah, I was going to say.
About as many as you, Bill. Very close.
Are you a mad back for the footy club? You're down there all the time?
Yeah, I get down there as much as I can, yeah.
Who's the best player?
There's a couple of handy players there. Max Marnie, Harry Marnie. There's a pretty handy girl there called Ava.
All the Marnies, yes. Righto, how many hearts and legs does an octopus have? It's not 1 or 2.
8 and 8.
Oh, no. Well, nearly there, Bill. Josh, oh, look at Joshy. Hello, Joshy. You win a prize, don't worry. I think we got some there. Thank you. How are you, Joshy?
Yeah, good, mate. Yourself?
Good. What do you do? You're not a jockey.
Nah, I work for the Shire.
The Shire. So that's an oxymoron.
thank you, Bill.
Works for the Shire.
Well said.
How many hearts does an octopus have and legs?
3 hearts and 8 legs.
Yes! There we go. There is the quiz. Well done, Bill. Oh, Josh.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Blokes that suddenly think that they're a bit bigger and stronger and faster.
Superman.
That's it.
Superman even.
This is a Copeland Trophy winner, by the way.
I know.
The star of the competition.
I know.
Our man Jack Crisp in person, which I love.
Yeah.
Haven't seen you for a while. Crispy, how's it going?
It's been a very long time. It's good to be in the studio.
Bloody oath it is.
Mind you, the new one. I didn't get the memo you had moved.
And you went to the old one.
I rocked up at the old one and no one was there.
Yeah, that's could have walked in. They would have put you on air over there.
Probably would have.
How are you going, Crisper?
I'm going very well. Thanks, Bill.
Yeah.
Explain this to me because we're a bit old school, Fat and I. So when you see your team lose and then a minute later your players are chatting and laughing with the opposition, you look at it and go, get off the ground. Yeah. And you can ring them during the week. But modern young blokes, you know, they've all played Vic Metro together or whatever, and it's a different thing today.
Yeah, it is. I think you see a lot of people with like a bit of white line fever when they play the game. They can be a completely different person, but there's obviously that respect you still have for one another. Everyone's competing the same. But once the siren goes, you can obviously be disappointed if you lost or happy if you won, but you're still a nice person. You want to be a genuine person. You don't want to, you know, be rubbing off the wrong way or anything. I'm sure that won't sit very well with many people, not myself anyway, but I like to go about my business. I'll play footy hard, and then I'll have a chat at the end of the game if I know the person.
I was going to say you're like that because you've got a bit of that because you're the loveliest bloke now, and we spend a bit of time together. But on the ground, but it's like Joel Selwood's the same. Taylor Adams, another one, couldn't find a nicer bloke off the field, but on the field he's
the Brazzy Maynard.
Yeah,
the Brazz.
Yeah, there's another one.
He's a complete lunatic.
Hey, just on Tay Tay Adams, he was looking for that young girl that helped him across the road with the when he had the groin injury, and she helped, which was a great story. He did find her, didn't he?
Yes, they came through this morning. I saw right before he ran out, he brought the family through, gave a bit of a tour of the footy club, and then they were out watching training, and I think he got a few signed footy jumpers for them, all the boys signed that, come off the track, so they got to experience that, which is really great.
I reckon there are times in football clubs where someone's unbelievably good, but people don't quite understand how good.
Right.
And Darcy Moore is that for me. He's close to the best defender in the comp, Darcy Moore, when his body allows him to be. Yeah. I'm not sure people understand just how important he is to what you do.
No, he is. He's obviously a very important player. He's obviously probably our tallest defender, but the way he plays, he's so versatile. He's quick, got great closing speed. He's got long limbs as well, so he always managed to find a way to get a fist in there and help like come across and spoil and help the other defenders out. Mm. But then also, yeah, his ability to take the game on a bit with his leg speed and, penetrating kick. He's got different avenues to really help us attack and defend.
Love him.
Yeah, exactly.
Crispy, on his way in, just contacted us and said, I want to hear a couple of things.
Yes.
First of all, how you say the Collingwood players.
Mm. What is going on with Collingwood, your mob, by the way? With silly surnames. McCreary. Yeah. Givenan. Crisp.
Skinnevan.
Quisp is hard to say.
Quisp.
Hoskin Elliott.
He's calling him Quisp.
Quisp. It's hard to say.
Quisp. Oh, my God.
How many people get your name mixed?
Anyone ever called you Quisp?
Not Quisp. but one of our old coaches a few years ago, Bradley Gotch, he called me Cripsy. Right, so I've been called Crip. Now I get called Cripper at the club, so I'm not even called Crispy or anything.
I love it. You've got to say it slow.
The other one you liked was the two French pilots punching on in the cockpit. And, let's have a listen.
Sacre bleu! Oui! Merde! Bâtard! Oh, ça merde!
Crispy.
Look, he's still laughing, Jim. He's still laughing.
That's not craft.
That's craft.
Oh, that was gold.
You were driving along, nearly crashed your car, you said.
No, I didn't say that. I said I had a good laugh to myself in the car.
Oh, right.
Yeah, geez, that was funny, though.
Oh, that was well done. I'd like to take the credit, but it was Onion and Matty.
You had nothing to do with
it. No, well, actually, it was actually good, so I had a lot to do that with Crisp.
Jack Crisp from the Collingwood Football
Club. Love him.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Jim, overwhelm, underwhelm and over-deliver, my friend, I do consistently. Tell you what, time's just got away from us, Jim.
Oh, really, so with your stupid 6 at 4.08 order there, Lord.
Yeah, exactly. It was 6 at 5.07. Very, very good show
for that segment.
Ring now, 133353. When have you broken your finger? Unusual, Jim. What? Because a robot broke a 7-year-old's finger. 133353. Well, he was playing chess.
So the 7-year-old's playing chess.
And he was playing against a chess robot.
Right.
This is in Moscow, Jim, over in Russia.
Imagine.
So they're playing. Anyway, this is Sergio, the president.
Where was the game of chess?
In Russia, Moscow.
Right.
Moscow. Hey, Moscow. So this is what Sergio said. The robot broke the child's finger. This, of course, is bad.
Thank you, Sergio. Yeah, thanks, Sergio.
The robot was rented by us. It has been exhibited in many places.
Right.
The child made a move, Jim, and after that, he had just left his finger there on the horn or whatever it is, and the robot went bang on top of it, and they couldn't lift the robot's finger.
It could have been a rook.
Well, I don't know.
Didn't have to go with pawn.
Or bishop.
It could have been a bishop.
Bloody queen.
Yeah, didn't have to be a pawn.
Well, the pawn, there's a lot of pawn.
I know that, Bill. All right, so what are we doing?
He just wants to say
he does. That's all he wants to say. Like a real imbecilic fool's head.
That bloke and his family went to a motel, Jim.
No, thank you.
So, anyway, this robot squashed his finger, broke his finger. The kid had to play in a cast, Jim, for the next couple of days. So that is, it's a narrow niche type of topic here.
So therefore.
133353. Hence.
Hence.
When have you broken your finger? Unusual.
Right.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I was a bit chubby as a kid, Jim.
A bit more standard.
I had dyslexic.
Triple M. Right now, we're talking, how did you break your finger?
A robot in Moscow broke a 7-year-old's finger playing chess. So we're asking the question, when have you broken your finger? Unusual.
Yeah, well, I told you about dropping Danny Buckingham at Bell Reeve.
Yes, that's right.
And then
too
fielding
scared.
For the rest of the session. With it going outside.
Because you're too scared.
Or the boss, he's seething. He was with me. And fair enough too, Bill, because it was a very bad drop and he went on to make 160.
Mm.
Tubby little bastard.
He is.
Kept it over a point. All right, so we got Brad from Whittlesea, I think, joins us first. Hello, Bradford.
Brad.
How are you, gentlemen?
Where'd you break your finger?
Working on a car, being a mechanic by trade, and the apprentice decided that while I was changing belts, he was going to try and start the car. So he's hit the key.
Oh, no.
And I've ended up with fingers jammed between belts and pulleys. And, yeah, sure enough, I had to get him to actually go and get a knife so that I could cut the belt so that I could get my fingers out. And, yeah, ended up with three broken fingers.
Three?
Oh, wow.
Three.
No, are they recovered?
I've got... I had surgery on to fix two of them because it actually snapped all the tendons and everything in there. But I've got two that are a bit wonky and a bit bent, and so I can't bend them properly.
The apprentice didn't last.
Yeah, what happened to him?
Oh, no, the apprentice didn't last.
No, you can't start the car on your boss.
Yeah, just start her up.
Oh, no, come on. Stay there, Brad.
Yep.
Brendan Doncasterville.
Hello, Brendan.
Hey, how you going?
Or Brendan.
Brendan.
Right. Yeah. How'd you break your finger, Brendan?
My brother popped a balloon on my auntie's finger when I was playing balloon and broke her finger.
No.
A balloon broke her finger?
Yep.
So he
broke it good.
It was a balloon and he went to try and pop it on her finger?
No. They were just playing, like, hitting the balloon to each other and, yeah, he popped it on her finger and it broke it.
How can it, with all the beautiful respect to your magnificent auntie, how's a balloon breaking her finger?
Don't know. She's a bit soft.
Oh.
Yes. Must. What do you get when you... Bones get a bit bristle. What's that called?
A bit what? A bit bristle.
Bristle. Yeah, when you don't drink enough milk and stuff. What's that called, Jim?
What do you think?
I don't know.
Osteopubis.
That's it.
Not pubis. Osteopubis.
Let's go to
Oh,
Emma.
My God. Emma.
Emsy. Come on, Emsy. What happened?
Hiya. I took the tip of my pinky finger off in a banana lounge.
Oh, the phone's ringing too. You're busy, Emma.
I am.
How did you do it on a banana lounge?
I was trying to adjust it, just trying to relax in the sun. Ooh. And, trying to adjust the back, and my finger got stuck and it collapsed and, sliced the tip right off. We had to put it in a bag and take it off to hospital.
Did you get it sewn back on?
No, it wasn't enough to sew back on, so I've got just a little stubby finger.
Were you on holidays or was backyard?
No, just in the backyard.
Banana lounge.
Yeah.
Stay there. So, osteo. What's it called? If you have weak bones.
I'm concentrating on the callers.
I'd like you to have another go at it because it's not osteopubis.
Yeah, I know that. We'll find it out in a minute because we'll talk to Sharon in Bendigo. Sharon.
Hi, how are you guys?
Going well. How are you, Sharon?
Yeah, not bad at all.
Good on you, Dom.
How did you break your finger, unusual, Shaz?
I was splitting firewood and cut the finger pretty much off, broke the knuckle, cut the top of it, part of it off, and broke all the tendons, all of the muscle and everything like that, and had to get pins and everything put in the knuckle to get it put back together again. Jeez. And it now points a little bit the wrong way.
Oh, so you hit it with an axe?
I hit it with an axe cutting firewood.
Oh, no. How do you do that?
That hurts.
Well, when the kindlings are standing there, sitting there, and you've got your finger in the wrong place, and you go swing, your knuckle instead.
Come on. Hurt. That's silly.
That hurts.
No, that hurts
a lot.
Exactly. All right. So
be some more callers on bones, Bill's topic.
Osteo. Can we get out of you what it is?
Osteoporous. Big pun. Osteoporous causes bones to become weak and brittle, Jim. That's it.
No.
Osteoporous.
Osteo what?
Poreos. Anyway, we
Porosis,
move on.
Porosis, Bill. It's not even a hard one. Osteoporosis.
I've never heard of it. I knew it was osteo something. Anyway, poor old Arnie. That's what she had.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Look at him. He's now in the fetal position because he knows how appalling that is.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day. We've gone through a whole year's worth of Billy's jokes to pick out the best ones.
A good joke on this show would be good.
Sadly, we couldn't find any, so this will have to do.
That is appalling.
No, it's not.
On the best of Triple M's Rush Hour, this is Billy's joke.
Right. You ready, Rab? You ready, Tim?
We're ready. No.
What makes it hard for a T-Rex to play the piano?
What?
Well, being extinct doesn't help things.
they're extinct.
So what you've done?
How's he going to come up and play the piano?
Well, what you've done, Fat, is you've said, "All right, I now I'm on a real bad run, no. So I'm going to come up with something worse to try and do the reverse."
They're not around.
Oh, no, thank you, Bill. I got half an idea about that. So, Fat,
there's no Billy Joel T-Rexes,
aren't there? Oh, now you're adding. Yeah! Now you're adding layers.
Yeah, see? Layers on layers. Yeah. I knew I'd get there.
Bill,
well done, Fatty.
You know that's just rabbits feeling sorry for you.
Oh, a bit of both.
But I think it's there.
Happy birthday, Slapsy. We're
a Slapsy.
Yes,
a Slaps.
Slapsy's 18 today.
Driving a car.
Yeah, we're playing blackjack.
Of course he is.
Frothies
walking into the front bar.
Oh, front bar was on. Yeah. Stevie J. Tonight.
Wasn't there a photo of Slapsy at the Cremorne a couple of years ago?
No, there was.
Creamy. I think there was.
There was.
This has been the best of Triple M's Rush Hour. JB and Billy are back live in 2023. In the meantime, you can hear the boys anywhere, anytime by downloading the Listener app. LISTNR. I feel good!